If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we want to look at verse 9, kind of to introduce our study this morning, and then we will be back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at some other places today. Something wonderful in the Scripture about our work with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a couple of pastors for whom we're praying this morning. Doyle knows their names, so Doyle, if you'll pray for us and pray for them, I'd appreciate it. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's," what's the next word? "Building." Ye are God's building. What we want to talk about today is this. We want to talk about working on God's building. But in order to do that, we have to lay a foundation. We have to get an understanding from the Scripture about what constitutes this building. What is this building? And who is in this building? And what is the responsibility of those who are in it? So, with this verse in mind, let's begin laying a foundation. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 13. And first of all, recognize this, that when you and I were saved, we were baptized by the Spirit of God into Jesus' body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." You see that? Look at verse 12 for the context. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So you were baptized when you probably didn't even recognize it. You may not have even known it. You certainly didn't feel it. You were baptized by the Spirit of God into Christ's body. Turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. When Jesus Christ began his ministry, the Jews wanted a sign from him. And so he told them in John chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, he said this, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? So when he said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days, they were thinking he was talking about the building. Verse 21 says, "But he spake of the temple of his body." Now, what did he call his body? A temple. So what he called it? A temple. That's interesting then, because we think of the body of Jesus Christ, and Paul described it as the body like you have, with eyes and ears and nose and mouth, and indeed it is, but it is also a body uniquely that is a temple. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're just laying a little foundation here, a little groundwork. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and notice, this is a very unusual body. This is a very unusual temple. In 1 Peter chapter 2, when you and I were saved, watch it, "ye also as lively stones." You see verse 4? Jesus Christ is the living stone, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Then he says, "ye also as lively stones are built up," what? "A spiritual house, all an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So when you're baptized into his body, you're baptized into a temple. You become a lively stone in a spiritual house. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and you'll see how Paul described this house, this temple. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 19. The Bible says, "Now therefore, Ye are no more strangers, talking about Gentiles, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the, look at that, household of God, and are built, see that word, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner stone, in whom all the, what's that word, building, fitly framed together, groweth unto what? An holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So what happened, and then when you got baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, when I was baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, we were, that body is a temple, we were put in that temple as lively stones, and we are builded together upon a foundation that was laid by the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. We are a holy temple, a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's a remarkable thing. Now, as lively stones, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The stones need to grow, and the building needs to grow. The building grows up into this habitation of God. So one of the chief occupations of the ministry, and one of the chief occupations that we have as members of Christ's body is, it involves working on that building to either grow as a lively stone or to add stones to the building so that it can grow. Those are the chief things. So go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when Paul said what he said, we are God's building. You see, now you have a broader understanding of it. You're God's building by virtue of the fact that you were baptized into the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is a temple. So, now looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 again, we are laborers together. Who's he talking about? Well, in this context, Paul and Apollos. Paul said earlier in this chapter, he said in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And yet he says, though Apollos was doing a job different than I was doing, and though I'm doing a job that's different than Apollos is doing, we are laborers together, but not separate from God, with God. And he says, ye are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. What did Paul do? I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. So there's no more need for Paul's ministry. The foundation has been laid. But there is need for laborers who are going to build on that foundation. Next sentence, verse 10. Let, how many men? Every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So the members of that body, the lively stones in that building, should all be involved, every man, in building that building. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now watch it, if, what's the next word? Any man. So it's not exclusive. You don't earn the right by certain practices or education or whatever to work in that building, any man can work in that building. If any man, look at it, build thereupon. That's what he said in Ephesians chapter 2. It's a building that is built. If any man build thereupon on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, watch it, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. And then look at the end of verse 13, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we get the idea sometimes that the building of this building is reserved to a pastor or an associate pastor or perhaps the leader of a Sunday school class. But he said any man and every man. Whoever's in that building, whoever is a lively stone in that building. So every man And he's not being gender specific here. Every man, which would include women as well, should be involved in this work of the building to some degree. Now remember, the building is a body and the body is a building, right? So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 before we start making some points of application here. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And notice when Paul describes the building or the body of Jesus Christ, he describes it the same way when he describes it as a body as he does when he describes it as a building. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. Jesus Christ gave some gifts when he ascended into heaven. He gave some apostles, and we know who they were, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's what I am. That's what Tony and Randy are. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. To edify is to build and strengthen the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, watch it, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You never build a building without having a plan on what that thing is going to look like. When this building was built, I can take you back into the storage room and I can show you the plans for this building and the specifications. The plumber knew, the electrician knew, the roofer knew, the metal building company knew, the guy that did the foundation knew. They all knew what this building was going to look like as a finished product. There was a plan. You know what the building is going to look like, this temple is going to look like when it's finished? There is a plan. You know what it is? It is the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's already got it planned. Now, this building is not finished yet. It hasn't been perfected. It hasn't reached the fullness of Christ. It hasn't reached the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, but it's in the process of being completed. Then he talks about being tossed to and fro in verse 14. He talks about verse 15. He says, speaking the truth in love, watch it, may, what are the next two words? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ. So the stones in the building are growing and the building is growing. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, look at this, fitly joined together. In Ephesians 2, when he talked about the building, he said it was fitly framed together. The body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which, how many joints? Every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of how many parts? Every part maketh, what's the next word? Increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So whether you consider your position in Christ to be a body or whether you consider your position in Christ to be a building, the same thing is happening. You're fitly framed, fitly joined, and every part and every joint supplies to the growth of the building, both the parts of the building and the building itself. The parts of the body and the body itself. You see that? And that's, you go back there in the nursery and you'll see these little kids. And, you know, one of these days you go back to the nursery and they won't be there anymore. They'll be in the toddler's class and they'll be in the children's Sunday school class and they'll be in the teen class, the college class. And then one day they'll be a full-grown adults. And you say, how's that happen? That's the natural, the Lord's saying, that's the natural process for a body. That's the natural process for His temple, for His building. So we are all supposed to be working on and working in God's building. Now you say, well, how in the world am I supposed to do that and what am I supposed to do? That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and here's the first point of application on this truth that you're seeing in the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 talk about salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, but of the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But God didn't stop there. You know, a lot of soul winning today is shallow in that it contemplates two things. One, it contemplates where will you go if you were to die tonight. So it's contemplating heaven as if salvation is not about now, it's about when you die. You have to be careful with that. I know that's a compelling question. It helps people start thinking about the reality of heaven and hell. So I'm not saying that it's incorrect, but I'm saying if all we do is talk to people about where they're going to go when they die, what are they going to do while they're living? Okay, that's the point of that. All right, so that's one of the problems with soul winning. The other problem with soul winning is the objective is to get them saved. And may I tell you something, getting them saved is huge because that's why Jesus Christ died, but that's not what all he did. Because look at verse 10. After you're saved, look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you understand? Do you understand that when you were born and you were a little child, God already figured out if you got saved, if you get saved, He has something for you to do. He before ordained. It's not talking about predestination because your choice about salvation is still rest with you. But if you choose to receive Jesus Christ, He's been working on you. You're created in Christ Jesus. He's been working on you to do something unto good works. He's got a job for you to do. And He made you for that job. You know, I have listened to a lot of people's testimonies. And it's an amazing thing. Even when they were not living for God, God was still in the process of molding them for when they would live for Him. And a lot of the things they did when they weren't living for God, God uses in the building today. Is that not true of your own testimony? Well, it's surely true of mine. I'm looking around here and I know some of your testimony. I'm thinking, man, God never did have His hands off of you. He just wanted you in Christ Jesus. And once you got in Christ Jesus, He had something for you to do unto good works. You see, Christ is the head of this construction crew and He put you on the crew. He gives us our jobs. Now, the interesting thing is we don't all have the same job. Just as in this building here, there were guys that did the lighting and there were guys that did the air conditioning, there were guys that did the plumbing and there's guys that did the foundation, there's guys that did the carpentry and there are people that have done the carpet and there are people that have, you know, installed the chairs. And you understand? There are a lot of jobs to do in a building. It's not all the same job. He gives us our jobs. What was Paul's job? He said, I planted. And that was his job. What was Apollos' job? Apollos' job was to water. And Paul didn't look over there and go, man, I wish I had Apollos' job. I got ripped off. That's a better job than what I have because he's the guy that gets to see him more nearly to their salvation than I do. Or Apollos couldn't look at Paul and say, he's the pioneer. Man, I should be the planter. They just each got in their lane, ran their race, did their job. And together, since we labor together, God could give the increase. That's a beautiful thing. You ever read the book of Nehemiah? What happened in the book of Nehemiah? They had to build a wall around Jerusalem. All right, they had a lot of, there were all kind of problems. Gates were burned out. Walls were knocked down. There's rubbish everywhere. And so when they built that wall, you go back there and read that. You know, to you, when you're reading it, it's dull reading. Well, I have to read about this family, and they were working on this section from that gate to that gate, and this family, and they were working on this gate to that gate. You're thinking, man, this is dull reading. But it's not dull reading when you consider the building that you are in by virtue of salvation. You know why he said? Each guy had to do his piece, and when they worked on their piece and got their piece done, the whole thing got completed. So the thing to do is to find out what you're supposed to do in this building and then do it. You know, one of the worst... Well, let's see. I'm going to make sure... That I don't. One of the worst things you can do is want to do something that God didn't design you to do in this building because you think that's a better thing to do, and then neglect the thing that God wanted you to do because you were looking at doing something He didn't want you to do. I've seen that a lot. People somehow or another think that what I'm doing behind this pulpit, teaching you or being the pastor, is like that's the thing I need to do. As if this is somehow the epitome. You ought to walk around with me for a little while. This is not the epitome. It is just one more job. I'm serious about this. It's just one more job that is involved in that building, and everybody in this room has something to do in that building. Because you were created by God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. All He wants you to do is find that place where you're supposed to work, get in that lane, and do that job. Amen. The second thing we notice about this is this. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, this is kind of a timely study. We studied the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. It's now we're actually able to go back into it and pull together a study that ties several parts of the book together. And it's very interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 is about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Then jump down to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to whom? Every man. See it again? To what? Profit withal. To profit withal. So the second thing then is, first thing is God created us to work in this building. Then God gifted us, that's the second point, God gifted us by the Spirit to do this work. In other words, it's not based on your talent, it's not based on your personality, it's not based on your strength, it's not based on your mental acumen, it's not based on your IQ or your intellect or your education or your scholarship or your wealth or anything. God gave, you know, created you to do something, and then He gave you the spiritual gift to be able to accomplish what He wants you to do in that building, which is a tremendous thing. Because this is God's work. The house is spiritual, and you can't build it by carnal means. And here's the beauty. You've heard me say this before, but now in this context, it may be a little bit clearer to you. Our spiritual gifts match the work God has given us to do. In other words, we've said many times before, when we see a need that's in our church, something that has to be addressed in order to continue the work of the ministry, we find that God has raised up the people with the spiritual gift to meet that need, and those are the two you want to plug together. If you say, we have this need in the church and we just got to find somebody to fill this slot, you're liable to put somebody in there who's not gifted for that. And it's not going to be easy for them to do the work because God didn't, that's not what He created them to do. You know, I know a lot of churches that grow rapidly. What they like to do is they like to just start plugging people in to be Sunday school teachers and all kind of things like that because they know if they get them plugged in, then they're liable to become more faithful. But man, you're putting all kind of people at work in things they're not spiritually gifted to do. So God matches the person who has a particular spiritual gift with the specific need. And that's a beautiful thing. So, you know, it may take you a while, particularly if you're younger, it may take you a while to figure out, okay, this is, evidently what the spiritual gift is that I have. It may take you a while to see that, but you know what? You're not wasting time being involved because there's training, and there's assisting, and then there's doing. Christianity is kind of funny, particularly when it comes to missions. We take people, they say, I'm called to the mission field. Good, go. And you don't do that in the military. You don't do that in business. You don't do that anything else. In all those other fields, they train and train and train and then give them the responsibility. And the same is true in the building. You know, any of you that have ever learned to do anything like welding or carpentry or any of that, you start out learning the basics and then you grow in your skill with training. So God gifted us by the Spirit to do this work. And that's a wonderful thing because you don't have to, it's not intimidating to you. You realize I'm doing this the way that God made me to do it and the way that God has spiritually equipped me to do it. But that's not all. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse 12. And this is very important. God, here's the third point, God gave us the materials to do this work. God gave us the materials to do this work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, all right, there's six things mentioned here, but those are two categories of material. Gold, silver, precious stones, one group. Wood, hay, and stubble, another group. Gold, silver, and precious stones are eternal building materials for an eternal spiritual house. Wood, hay, and stubble are temporary building materials, and they are for temporary houses. Gold, silver, and precious stones were used in the construction of Solomon's temple. Wood, hay, and stubble were used to build Pharaoh's palace cities. Remember how they had to go out and get the stubble and make the brick and put all that stuff together? Those things were for temporary design. God likes to work with material that is going to last some time. All right, so let's just talk briefly about what this gold, silver, and precious stones are. Now, we looked at this, but it's been a long time ago now that when we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we actually looked at these materials, but bear with me as we do a refresher here. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and go to Psalm 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, keep it there, Psalm 19. And notice, first of all, that the gold can be likened to God's words. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. These judgments and all this coming down from verse 7, the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, all that has to deal with the Word of God. Notice he says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than what material? Gold. Yea, than much fine gold. So the words of God can be likened, we could look at it in other places, but the words of God can be likened to the gold. So you're going to, listen, if you're going to work in God's building, then you're going to have to work with God's words. People say, why do you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? Because those are God's words. You say, well, so people say, well, we think a modern Bible is easier to understand. If you want to build with wood, hay, and stubble, see, you want to build with gold, then use His material. Okay, so that can be likened to God's words. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 and 18. Proverbs chapter 8, if you're familiar, if you read the proverb of the day, you're familiar that Proverbs chapter 8 is wisdom, and wisdom is personified. Wisdom is speaking through this entire chapter, and wisdom says in verses 10 and 11 of Proverbs chapter 8, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches. That's what we're looking for, durable riches, something that's going to survive the fire. Durable riches and righteousness. And he compares wisdom to silver in verse 10. So I would say, if you want to build in God's building, use his gold, his words, and use his wisdom. If you remember from your study of 1 Corinthians, Paul was very careful to compare man's wisdom to God's wisdom. And he said, we're not doing anything with man's wisdom. We're working with God's wisdom. And God's wisdom is foolishness to men. And then look in Proverbs chapter 17. He said, gold, silver, and precious stones. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse 8. Work with God's words, God's wisdom, and God's gifts. Proverbs 17, look at verse 8. A gift is as what? A precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. So you see, the building materials are all God's. They're God's words, there's God's wisdom, and there is God's gifts. And if you build with those, you're going to build something that is going to last. Now, wood, hay, and stubble, by contrast, would be things like man's wisdoms and man's method and man's programs and man's words, you see. You could get up a big crowd with a rock and roll band, pom-pom girls. I mean, that's been proven over and over again. But the question is, will that building survive the fire? I don't think so. Somebody said, well, don't people in all that get saved? I was talking to Brother Roberts about that, and I said, because we were talking about cheap methods of trying to claim lots of souls for Christ. And he said this, he said, the devil will give you 5 to keep 1,000. That's really profound. That's really profound. So God, listen, God created you to do this work. God gifted you by the Spirit to do this work. God gave you the materials to work with. So what we have to be careful, you know, if think about this, and I'll give you one example that might be familiar to some of you, and then we're going to make another point. God, I believe that years ago, when Billy Graham was young, I believe God called him to do crusade work. No question about it. And he got up and he preached without reservation the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that that entails very powerfully, and many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. But there was a period of time when God wanted that to work, and then really and truly, it's just like these other phases. You don't need painters to keep coming back and painting a building once it's painted, and you don't need the foundation crew to come in and lay a foundation once the foundation is laid, and you don't need electricians wiring the building once it's wired. And I believe that that ministry that God gave him ran its course in the building until God was done with it. What happened is that men that were involved in the evangelistic association decided that that same thing needed to continue. And in order to do that, they started reaching out to denominations of people that were not saved and unlike religions that were not saved to keep the crowds coming in, and then started employing methods to still have lots of people walking the aisles. And toward the end of that very fruitful ministry, Billy Graham said, I wonder that maybe half the people who have walked forward to pray are not even saved. You know why that happened? Wood, hay, and stubble. Men, what happened is men decided they wanted something to continue that God was finished with. Do you understand? Today, there is not a Hiles Anderson. Today, there's not a Tennessee Temple in Lee Robertson's ministry. Today, there's not a Lester Roloff and that thriving ministry. You say, why is that? Because God gave those things to those men to do their work, and when they finished their work, the ministry was done. Do you understand that? There was no reason to continue that thing in honor of a man or in memory of a man. God was through with that phase. And to keep trying to make it keep going says we're not any longer concerned about the existence of the habitation of God and the spiritual house. We're concerned about continuing the man's ministry. Well, the man's ministry was simply his gift, his tool, his thing that he was made for. And that's important for us to remember that, that we're not here to build Bible Believers Baptist Church. Bible Believers Baptist Church is how God brought us together to go to work in His building until He's finished with what we have to do, however He chooses to do this. Which brings us to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 15. God will reward us, watch it, when we complete this work. 1 Corinthians 13, 3:13, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it should be revealed by fire. Gold, silver, and precious stones, God's words, God's wisdom, God's methods, God's gifts, they're all going to survive the fire. God's building will survive the fire. Because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Do you want your work to survive? I do too. And when it does, you will receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? See, he mentions it again, right in the context. So your work and my work are not done until we finish our job. You don't just do rough in electrical and then leave. You finish the job. You don't do rough plumbing and then leave the job. You finish the job. You don't do site preparation. You pave the parking lot and then you're done, and stripe it and then you're done. See? So our work is not completed until we have done our job and, listen, done it the right way. It's going to be inspected. So the thing to do is to find out what your course is, to finish your course well, and if you finish your course well, you'll be rewarded well. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross said, "It is." Paul said, "I have finished my course." He knew what it was. And when he finished it, he finished it. Just remember that we are rewarded for how well we build His building, not how big we build our ministries. His building remains. Our ministries don't. They don't. So, you know, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about your ministry or your work. God has created you for the work He wants you to do, and He's given you the spiritual gifts. He's given you the grace. He's given you the materials to do your job. So go to work on that. Go to work on what He wants you doing. Whether you're learning, whether you're assisting someone else, or whether you're actually doing the work yourself. Let me show you an example of how all this worked in the Jerusalem church. Go back to Acts chapter 6. Notice how this worked beautifully. And then we'll make a kind of a closing remark here as we finish this lesson. Acts chapter 6, look at verse 1. Beautiful, beautiful. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So they were coming for a meal and some of them weren't getting fed. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "Watch it, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." May I tell you something? They didn't say that serving tables was a menial task and we're doing the more important thing. They are saying our job is the word of God. Our job is not serving tables. But God has given us some men around here to serve tables. We need to get them involved. Verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Notice, that's the same thing you'd want of a person that's preaching. Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Why? Because that was their job to do. That was their job to do. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose these men, of whom two are Stephen and Philip. Stephen, he's the great martyr that preached before Paul. Philip was the guy that was God used for the revival in Samaria and then to lead the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. These men could preach, they could do a lot of things, but he said, "We want you serving the tables. We want you taking care of this business." Verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." What happened? And the word of God, what's the next word? Increased. And the number of the disciples, what's the next word? Multiplied. Listen, do you see that? The building was growing. And the people in the building were growing because everybody was doing the job they were supposed to do. In Jerusalem greatly, in a great company, the priests were obedient to the faith. So here's the... You see, the job they did allowed the word of God to increase and the disciples to multiply greatly. So here's the deal. We should be thinking, I'm talking about everybody in this room, we should be thinking, how does what I do contribute to the growth of the stones in the building and the growth of that building, the construction of that building? How does what I do contribute to that? And frankly, in our church, if we have things going on that don't contribute to those things, probably those aren't things we need to be doing. And in your life, you know, you say, well, I have to work and so forth. Yeah, but you, in your work, you are in contact, in your neighborhood. You're in, you see, with people that God wants in the building, and God has you placed where He has you placed and has gifted you the way He's gifted you so you can have an effect on other people that He would like to bring into the building. And in the meantime, you can also grow. Your job and your exercise and your nutrition are not competing with each other. They're all being used so that you can be healthy enough, strong enough, used enough to contribute to the building of that building. Sowing the seed of the Word of God, excellent. Telling other people about Jesus Christ, excellent. Discipling, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to Sunday school, learning these things so that you're more equipped. All these things are excellent for the growth of the lively stones and the growth of the temple of God, of which we are members. As long as we keep that forefront in our minds as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to get something done. Why? Because why? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and what did God do? God gave the increase. Amen, amen. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to study these words of Scripture. What a beautiful thing you've done for us in the New Testament, showing us something so clear, so true. Help us, Father, each, right now, as we've got our heads bowed, to think seriously, what is it that you've got me doing, Lord? So that as we listen to you and follow the leadership of your Holy Spirit, we know exactly how we fit and how we're supposed to be working, so each day we can be conscious of the need for our own growth and the growth of others in the building for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.